Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 117, and it's a Monday, November 12th, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, welcome to the show, where we talk about gay stories, geek topics, and bizarre news. But before our stories for today, there's a sad news, really sad news. We lost a very great man, Stan Lee, and he died at 95, and Stan Lee was, he started Marvel with Jack Kirby in 1961 with the, and then he made Fantastic Four, and then later on he created Spider-Man, Black Panther, The Incredible Hulk, X-Men, Iron Man, and The Avengers. And of course, throughout the years, throughout the decades, there have been movies based on this, and he has done a lot of, cameos and everything, so he's really great. And did you ever see Stan Lee ever at the Comic-Con, Ray?
Yes, we've talked about him on Bear Podcast with about the Stanley Liebowitz story, so back many episodes ago, a long time ago, probably about 10 years ago or 8 years ago, I think.
Yeah. So Stan Lee, I got to see him very briefly at the Comic-Con 2011, and it's really sad that we lost him. He had pneumonia and things like that. He was just not in a healthy state. So it's really sad. So rest in peace, Stan Lee, and he died November 12th. Okay. Anyway, so let's go on with our stories. But before our stories, we have our weekend updates. Ray.
Yes.
So how was your weekend?
I had a good weekend. My sister, Anita, came into town. Celebrated Jim's birthday Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then I went and watched Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's right. Who's your sister again? Anita?
Anita Doublewide.
Anita Doublewide.
Or excuse me, she says Anita Doublewide.
Double wid.
Yeah, she says it's French.
That's right. So last Saturday afternoon, it was a fundraiser at the Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church, where we had the drag bingo, and Ray was there, and I did not win anything, as usual.
Well, you donated to the cause, so think of the children and Jesus. So
that's right.
You won that.
Oh, I won his heart. Yeah, that's right. So yeah, we did that, and then we saw your sister Anita Doublewide. She was walking around Doublewide.
Yeah.
She even kissed me on the forehead, and I had some lipstick on my head for a while.
Well, I'm sure that's the first of that.
Uh huh. And then what else happened? Our friend Gary won. They won. Gary and Adrian won. So.
And our friend Jim won.
Oh, he did win?
Yeah, at the end. He won the big $500 gift card at the end.
Wait a second.
Not Jim, James Barrett.
Oh! Oh, okay. That's why he threw me off. What? I would have known if that happened.
Yeah, Jim would have been kind of hard to win. He's kind of dead.
But. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Not the same Jim we celebrated the birthday with on Sunday. Different Jim,
Tubby. Totally different Jim. Yeah. So happy birthday, yeah. Jim! Yeah, we had a brunch with him at Crisp Restaurant on that last Sunday. Yeah, so it was great to see him. And after that, Ray and I watched Bohemian Rhapsody. What do you think? Let's do a quick review of Bohemian Rhapsody. I was crying.
Me,
most
I was
of the
crying
time.
Too. I was just like, oh my god. And I learned so much because I never knew Freddie Mercury was married.
I didn't know he was kind of straight before that, or he's always been gay.
I don't think he was really straight. I think he just needed somebody in his life to love, and he met the love of his life, and that was all it was for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. it's such an awesome story, and the actor really played really well. Yeah. Freddie Mercury.
I know when they started doing Live Aid, man, I was really bawling.
Oh, me too, because I remember
flashback to the 80s, baby.
Yeah, the guy who played him is Rami Malek. And he's
from Mr. Robot.
From Mr. Robot, and he did a phenomenal job. so many people on Facebook are already talking about it, and then we just, you know, we've been putting it off, and then we got to see him at last, and it's really awesome to see him. It is a really, really awesome performance, both as a, you know, a pretending to be singing and everything. He might be singing some parts of it too. And
I don't know. It's hard to have that vocal range, I think.
Yeah. And then he had the, yeah, and him acting it is really spot on. And the guy he in the story, the guy who hooked up with, I guess the last boyfriend that Freddie Mercury had, is really, he was a bear.
Yeah.
Jim Hutton was a bear, I didn't know. It's pretty cool. So. And then it was awesome that they captured the music and the Live Aid part. I did not know the story, what happened to Live Aid. Then they had to participate. Of course, Queen had to. And yeah. I didn't know the story behind that. It was awesome. And actually, a couple of days ago, I got to watch Live Aid again with Queen, and I was watching it. Oh my God, is this what I'm gonna see in the movie? And then, sure enough, it was, and they were able to replicate most of it. And it was, I was really so touched. I was crying all the way, because it was a very good movie. I really enjoyed it. It's kind of inspiring for me too. It felt inspiring. That's why I could say about the movie.
Yep. All right, you ready to go on to the other gays?
All right, let's go to the other gays. I guess that is a gay.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the gay.
All right. Tuesday's midterm saw more than 100 LGBTQ candidates elected. Tuesday was a day of historic firsts in our country. The rainbow wave that so many had hoped for seems to be here, with more than 100 LGBT candidates winning their races in the midterm elections. One of the biggest victories of the night was flipping the House blue. LGBTQ candidates took 8 federal office seats, 86 state office seats, and 34 local office seats. This election is shaping up to be truly historic for LGBTQ candidates, and coupled with a change in leadership in the U.S. House of Representatives, shows a rejection of the hate-fueled politics of the Trump administration that have heartlessly targeted LGBTQ people, women, immigrants, Muslims, and all vulnerable populations. As Sarah Kate Ellis, President and CEO of GLAAD, the new House of Representatives is a critical check against the Trump administration's continued abuse of power and a strong signal that acceptance and inclusion are core American values. We must continue to grow the energy and enthusiasm from diverse voters across the country as LGBTQ Americans and all our allies push forward for equal protection under the law and grow support for writing explicit anti-discrimination into the U.S. Constitution. Jared Polis made history as the first openly gay man elected to governor in the U.S. He won his gubernatorial race in Colorado, beating his Republican opponent by a strong margin. He led his campaign as a very, very vocal and visible member of the LGBT community. In a race that was heavily watched by both sides, Senator Tammy Baldwin won her re-election in Wisconsin against an anti-LGBTQ opponent. Baldwin was the first openly LGBTQ person elected to the U.S. Senate back in 2012. Also in Wisconsin, openly gay Representative Mark Pocan won his re-election. Governor Kate Brown of Oregon also won her re-election. Brown was the first openly LGBT governor in the U.S. when she was elected in 2015. Cherise Davis of Kansas became the first openly LGBTQ Native American woman elected to Congress. Angie Craig of Minnesota and Chris Pappas of New Hampshire became their state's first openly LGBTQ officials elected to Congress. Massachusetts also made history with Yes on 3. The initiative upholds protections for transgender people. It was the first statewide popular vote in support of transgender rights. For months, the left took on a passionate plea to get voters to the polls. It seems to have paid off as the blue wave and rainbow wave so heavily promised have found success. But with the Senate still red, our fight is more crucial than ever. So it was a good day for the LGBT community and getting more open-minded people in power.
That's right. So as you may know, everybody out there, last week, November 6th, the last time we recorded was November 5th, and then the day after is it was elections, and the Senate was won was all red, but the Congress was the House was all blue, and which is good. Yeah, in my opinion.
Well, it's not all blue. It's more blue now.
It's more blue. Not all blue. It's all more blue now. Yeah. But the majority of Congress now is all blue. And then, of course, there are so many people who won, especially in Colorado. We have to mention the one in Colorado because the one in Colorado, you know, that cake issue. But there's this baker in the Colorado who didn't want to make a cake for for a gay couple. You know, guess what? His governor now is gay. So, yeah.
Well, if the governor asks him to make him a cake.
Oh, that's right. Let's see what happens to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, it's kind of not much of a blue, but it's very rainbow. That'd be good. Yeah. Good to know that. All right, let's go to the geek raid. Geek right now is Disney Plus. That's pretty much the title of this, really. Okay, so after months of speculation, Disney CEO Bob Iger has confirmed that the new Disney streaming service will be called Disney Plus. The strong association with the Disney product, Disney brand reinforces earlier reports that Disney Plus will be pitched at all ages with no R-rated or mature content. That's expected to be moved to Hulu, all the mature stuff, since Disney will own a controlling share in Hulu after the completion of its Fox acquisition. Meanwhile, Iger has previously indicated that Disney Plus will be priced substantially below rivals like Netflix. It will include a phenomenal amount of original content, including live-action Star Wars TV series such as The Mandalorian. 6-to-8-episode Marvel Studios shows featuring stars of the big screen such as Tom Hiddleston, and even live-action remakes of Disney classics Lady and the Tramp and The Sword in the Stone. Disney hasn't confirmed a specific launch date for the domestic U.S. market, but there have been consistent statements that they intend to become available in late 2019. It's then been reported that Disney Plus will begin to expand across other markets through 2019 and 2020. Disney will want to make the most of the vast amount of original content they're dropping on the streaming service, particularly given the global strength of some of the brands involved. As a result, it seems safe to say they'll probably roll out in each territory as soon as they can. So Star Wars live action series for Disney Plus, the company's new direct-to-consumer streaming service. So the series, which will go into production this next year, follows the adventures of rebel spy Cassian Andor during the formative years of the Rebellion and prior to the events of Rogue One. A Star Wars story. Yeah, Diego Luna will reprise the role of Andor. Going back to the Star Wars universe is very special for me, said Luna. I have so many memories of the great work we did together and the relationships I made through the journey. We have a fantastic adventure ahead of us, and this new exciting format will give us the chance to explore this character more deeply. The rousing spy thriller will explore tales filled with espionage and daring missions to restore hope to a galaxy in the trip of a grip of a ruthless empire. So that is amazing. They're going to have some Disney stuff, but you know what? It's going to be behind a paywall again.
Yeah. Well, that's what everything seems to be going to. So, which we kind of figured that. We figured old format TV would go away and you'd be pay on demand. Kind of.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So
it's going to be a
all right, Maynard. How do you say the name and the title of this next article?
We're about to leave. Oh, wait. I have to ask you first. Are you interested in subscribing to this though?
Probably will.
Disney Plus.
Yeah. Okay.
That's going to be next year. Yeah, I don't think I will, but I'll probably piggyback on you on that one. Okay, so I think it's Oumuamua.
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 Like your mama? Oumuamua?
Yeah. Oumuamua.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Scientists say mysterious Oumuamua object could be an alien spacecraft. Excuse me. Scientists have been puzzled over the Oumuamua ever since the mysterious space object was observed tumbling past the sun in late 2017. Given its high speed and its unusual trajectory, the reddish stadium-sized whatever it is had clearly come from outside our solar system, but its flat and elongated shape and the way it accelerated on its way through the solar system set it apart from conventional asteroids and comets. Now a pair of Harvard researchers are raising the possibility that Oumuamua is an alien spacecraft. As they say in a paper to be published on November 12th in the Astrophysical Journal Letters, the object may be a fully operational probe sent intentionally to Earth vicinity by an alien civilization. The researchers aren't claiming outright that aliens sent Oumuamua, but after careful mathematical analysis of the way the interstellar object sped up as it shot past the sun, they say Oumuamua could be a spacecraft pushed through space by light falling on its surface, or they put it in the paper, a light cell of artificial origin. It's certainly ingenious to show that an object the size of Oumuamua might be sent by aliens to another star system with nothing but a solar cell for power. Seth Shostak, a senior astronomer at the City Institute in Mountain View, California, said in an email, "But one should not blindly accept this clever hypothesis when there are also mundane and priorly likely more explanation for Oumuamua, naming it's a comet or asteroid from afar." Corin Baylor-Jones, an astronomer with the Max Planck Institute for Astronomy in Heidelberg, Germany, voiced similar objections. In science, he said in an email, "We must ask ourselves, where is the evidence, not where is the lack of evidence, so that I can fit in any hypothesis I like." So what do y'all think? Do y'all think, if you go look at the full article, do y'all think it's a spaceship?
All right.
Based on the way it looks, or do you think it's just a rogue asteroid?
So the way I look at it, if smart people from our scientific researchers think that it is an alien probe, maybe it is. And you see, asteroids or comets are always irregular in shape, and they have a predictable trajectory. But this one just came out of nowhere. And it just, I just, it moved away. And yeah, it's not of a regular
it just
trajectory.
Went floating out there.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, it has a behavior of something more sentient, or it has a behavior of something more artificial. And if it is using solar sails, we do have that, because that we have already conceptualized it here on Earth, but
yeah, because maybe it had to slingshot around the sun to pick up speed and absorb more energy for its continued space journeys.
Yeah. Plus, okay, it looks like a flat surface, and then we would think that it's too irregular. But we have to think that the idea of reflective and contoured objects like our spaceships, our airplanes, that's a human concept.
Yeah, because in space you can be any shape you want.
You can be any
shape.
There's
no resistance.
Yeah, so it doesn't really matter. And perhaps their idea, if they're aliens, and their idea of beauty is flat.
Yeah,
their beauty, or elegance is really elongated,
or it might just be designed to be practical.
Yeah, or so. may not be practical for us, but yeah, but it could be for them, you know, in their world. So it's interesting that it's possible it's an alien spacecraft.
Yes.
Okay, so the next question for that, Ray, is: would you be happy if it was an alien spacecraft probing us?
It would be interesting.
It will be interesting.
Because if they look at our broadcast of our president, would they be like, "Oh my God, we need to destroy this planet now"?
No. They can't. They can't get any context from that. If they don't know the language.
How do you know? They might be smarter than us. They might have a universal translator that you'd be able to break down all languages and understand everything.
I don't know.
They
about
can send
that.
A spaceship through outer space to collect data.
So. But if you think of it. You know, just logically, that if it's a spaceship, it's just looking around, where am I going to get food? Where am I going to get resources? Where's the next body of water? Oh, Earth. It's so near. We could probably attack
that. But maybe it's just a probe. I mean, maybe it's not any manned. It's all computerized. So.
No, which is true. I mean, it could be just a probe looking at where the next body of, big body of water.
Did you ever read Arthur C. Clarke's Ravenous with Rama? Excuse me, I'll get it out in a minute. Sorry, folks.
No.
It's all about this alien spaceship that looked like a giant asteroid that rolled through the solar system.
Ravenous, say it again. It's
Ravenous with Rama.
Oh, Rendezvous with Rama.
Rendezvous with Rama.
Rendezvous. Arthur C. Clarke, Rendezvous with Rama. So, what is it about? It's about, it's published in 1973. I wasn't born yet. And a 2130 cylindrical alien starship that enters the solar system. Oh my goodness, you're right. The story is told from the point of view of a group of human explorers who intercept the ship in attempt to unlock its mysteries. Oh my God, it looks like a good sci-fi book, right?
Yeah, it is very good. It's like a trilogy, I think. So all it was a very good series. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, so exciting. What do you guys think? Is it alien or is it just a piece of rock? Let us know. All right, let's go to the bizarre ray. We have a couple of bizarres here, which is... This is... Okay, I have questions about this ray. I'm sure you have comments about this too. So, a woman sues ex-boyfriend after his abnormally long penis stretched her vagina. A woman is suing her ex-boyfriend after his abnormally long penis allegedly overstretched her vagina. There's something wrong with this story. Anyway, so... Cylindale Mangena, 29, is planning to undergo reconstructive surgery after getting intimate with Mugove Kurima, 37. But she wants Kurima to pay the whopping 150,000 rand, it's 8,000 pounds, cost of his this, and is reportedly taking him to court. Cylindale of Harare, Zimbabwe, told the Zimbabwe Mail that her private parts were tight before she met her ex in 2016. She said she fell in love even though he was allegedly married at the time. Oh, okay. However, well, I guess the former wife wasn't complaining. However, she ended the relationship in May this year after Kurima is alleged to have stretched her vagina. It is currently unclear how large Cylindale alleged her ex's penis is. The woman is reportedly asked the court, through her lawyers, Dakarai, Mesendu, and partners, to force Kurima to pay for reconstructive surgery of her vagina in South Africa. Kurima is yet to respond to the allegations. Earlier this year, we reported how a man who claims to have the largest penis in the world says it's ruining his career. Okay, I don't want to talk about this guy because this guy's a hoax. John Falcon claims his manhood 13.5. Yeah. Anyway, let's just talk about Kurima because... who complains about this? What woman complains about
apparently
this?
Apparently this woman, because if it had been a gay man, that would have been like, it would have been a challenge.
It would have been a challenge.
Yes.
That's right.
Have you ever had one big enough to stretch your vagina, Maynard?
No, I don't have a vagina. And I don't know if I plead the fifth. I'm kidding. Uh-huh.
So your mangina's never been stretched that you've it's had to never, have surgically fixed?
No, it's never been. No. Uh-huh. So this guy, though, this guy, okay. So the guy was married before. Wait, who was married before? He was married.
Yeah, he was married when they first met.
And then they first met and then... I guess the first wife was not complaining. I don't know.
Who knows? That wasn't part of the story. The story is that he stretched out this woman's vagina and she's suing him for it.
Yeah, and
the ex-wife's not suing him for stretching out her vagina. The girlfriend is.
Yeah, the girlfriend is, and she's complaining. Oh my God! Then why? Okay, so here's another question here though. Why would a dick with that this abnormally long stretch of vagina? It usually is the girth. The girth is the one that stretches you. But how can a long dick? What if it's a pencil dick? Will it still stretch a vagina? I don't think so.
I think she's just out to make money. I don't know what's going on with this.
It's possible.
If she took it up the butt, it might have stretched your butt out. But I don't know. Who knows?
It's also possible that there was another person. There's another guy with a thicker dick. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe she's dating a guy that's not as big anymore, and he's feeling insecure because the last boyfriend had a big old dick, and he's got a little pencil dick, so now he's complaining to her that she's not tight.
Yeah.
So maybe that's probably be more like what's going on.
Most probably.
So.
All right, let's go to the next one, which is, I have so many things to say about okay. this guy, but go ahead, Ray.
69-year-old sues to legally change his age to 49, citing Tinder benefits. A motivational guru from the Netherlands who voiced a villainous Zaphorzette supermini in the Dutch language version of Pixar's Cars 2 is trying to legally change his birthday so he will face less discrimination, including from potential online romantic prospects. When I'm on Tinder and it says I'm 69, I don't get an answer. When I'm 49, with the face I have, I will be in a luxurious position, email Rotterbrand told BBC.
Emil.
That's what I said, Emil. Rotterbrand told BBC, we live in a time where you can change your name and change your gender. Why can't I decide my own age? Rotterbrand sued his local municipality after it denied his request to change his age on legal documents. He told a court in the city of Arnhem that he did not feel his age, comparing himself to people who identify as transgender. He argues, he argues that since his age does not represent his emotional state, he was being discriminated against in his personal and professional life. Therefore, he wants to change his birthday from March 11th, 1949 to March 11th, 1969. Wait a minute. How does that make him 49? It would make him 49.
No, 20 years younger. 20 years younger.
Yes, yeah, right. When I'm 69, I'm limited. If I'm 49, then I can buy a new house, drive a different car, I can take up more work, he told BBC. BBC reports that Rotterbrand claims his doctor told him he has a 45-year-old body. He referred to himself as a young god. The authorities overseeing the case were skeptical, according to the BBC. One judge reportedly asked what would come of the 20 years Rotterbrand hopes to delete and asked about his parents' feelings. Who were your parents looking after then? Who is that little boy, the judge reportedly said. Rotterbrand has had a history of saying controversial things. Several years ago, during an interview with Christian magazine, Rotterbrand and Osama bin Laden was an enlightened thinker, and that 9/11 attack was justified. In 4 weeks, the court is supposed to make a decision on whether Rotterbrand can delete 2 decades so that it might be easier for him to get laid. So,
now, that's just really a selfish thing to say and to do, because, for one thing, this will set a very bad precedent in legal courts, that anybody can just change their number because they just want to have a date.
Yeah.
This
means 16-year-olds could change their age to 26 and get cheaper insurance.
26? Get cheaper?
Yeah. Your insurance goes down after you turn 26.
Oh, I thought because you're still under your parents if you're under 26.
Nope. Yeah. Nope. You get your own insurance. It's just expensive until you turn 26. Whether you're on your parents or not.
So it's there's so many things that, well, if that happens. But for one thing, this is in the Netherlands, so I don't know. We don't know about their laws there. But yeah. When it comes to changing your age, you lose a lot of benefits, right? If you're 69, you got to be a senior citizen, right?
Let's say he feels 45 now. In 10 years, what if he feels 69 again and he wants to retire and he can't get a retirement because he's changed his age?
Yeah, there's so many things that the benefits that he could not have. I mean, it's just being a selfish thing to me.
Yeah.
You better face it. You just gotta face it. Face your age.
Just do like everybody else on Tinder. Lie about shit.
Yeah, you can do that. Plus, you know what? He's equating it to a human condition. It's not. Changing your age just like that, it's very, very different from you are being transgender, because transgendered people do have this this state of mind on their bodies that they do not align. They really are transgendered. But 69 and 49, just changing age like that, it's just not logical.
Yeah.
And it's really just for selfish reasons, not for scientific reasons.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to the next one. Oh, yeah, you put this just today, and this is interesting.
Yeah, especially for my earlier article.
Yes, it's good that you brought this in because this is new. It's from BBC.com, so we got to think it's going to be reputable, right, Ray? So UFO spotted off Irish coast under investigation. So interesting, we have UFOs. Of course, if you look at the article, they're putting in saucers and everything. It's not really, it's just a bunch of lights. So it began at 6:47 local time on a Friday, November 9th, when a British Airways pilot contacted Shannon Air Traffic Control. She wanted to know if there were military exercises in the area because there was something moving so fast. The air traffic controller said that there were no such exercises. So the pilot, flying from the Canadian city of Montreal to Heathrow, said there was a very bright light and the object had come up along the left side of the aircraft before it rapidly veered to the north. Could be Iron Man. And she was wondering that what it could be, but said it did not seem to be heading for a collision. Another pilot from a Virgin plane joined in and suggested it might be a meteor or another object re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. He said there were multiple objects following the same sort of trajectory and that they were very bright. Yeah, most likely they are comets or meteors. So the pilot said he saw two bright lights over the right, which climbed away at speed. It's climbing, it's not going down. So one pilot said the speed was astronomical. It was like Mach 2, yeah, two times the speed of sound, which is twice the speed of light. So following reports from a small number of aircraft on Friday, 9th of November, of an unusual air activity, the IAA has filed a report. So the Irish Aviation Authority said. A spokesperson for Shannon Airport said it would not be appropriate for the airport to comment while the IAA investigation is ongoing. This is interesting. This could be it, Ray. Aliens visiting the Earth. Trajectory going upwards, not downwards. You know, if it's a meteor, it would be going down. It's burning up and going down, going towards the Earth. But this is going up, so it's kind of weird. It's interesting. We'll see what happens. I'm sure we're going to find out what they're going to do. Or they could just cover it up and hide the fact that it's really that these are really aliens. Who knows? We'll see. I'm excited to hear about this in the future. All these aliens, the possibility of aliens, Ray, in 2018. And, you know, spacecraft probing Earth. And we have this this thing. Anyway, so interesting. Okay, so I guess that's it. Those are the stories for the week. And I want to tell you guys that we are in the top 25 gay podcasts in blog.feedspot.com/gay_podcasts. And it's, so we're along 24 others. I think we're top 23, I think. I have to look. We should go up the charts. What do you think, Ray? Okay, so that's it, guys. We're about to... visit us at facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. Go look at the stories that we post there, and email us if you want to contact us. Send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com,
or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, and go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Bye.